Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning and welcome. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm David Doval.
I'm Keith Acosta with Acosta Heating and Cooling.
And I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, good morning.
Good, man. It's been a while. You guys probably thought I've been avoiding you, haven't you?
Seems like that's been going on for a year or so now, at least.
Yeah. Pray to that COVID, man. Stayed away from you guys.
I already had it. I'm good. I'm inoculated and I'm
good.
Full of antigens.
Good. That's good.
Wasn't at the time.
I know. Well, welcome. Hey, we're glad you joined us, and it's getting that time of year. People are flipping on the air conditioning, so I hope that we have plenty of callers out there. If they have any questions, this is going to be a great week to get your air conditioning questions answered. The lines are open, 704-570-1110. We'd be glad to hear from you there. And then you can always send us a note at questions@askjohnanddave.com. And we'll be able to answer them that way as well. So anything going on, crazy guys, or? Yeah.
Good question. You stumped me.
Well, I'll tell you what I did.
Warm weather.
I was, John and I've had a couple of calls over the last few weeks about what can people do themselves for their maintenance, their annual maintenance or their biannual maintenance. And we had talked, you know, about the only thing we could really come up with other than changing filters, which you should be doing more than that if they're not yearly filters, but washing off the outdoor unit. So yesterday I had the hose out in the evening and was just washing some pollen off of stuff. And so I just hit the air conditioners and I saw all this mud run out. And, of course, you know, I was under construction last year or the year before, I pulled the cover off of it, and the coil was loaded with mud and whatever else was stuck to it. So, you know, obviously I had a lot of dust and dirt flowing around, but, man, you've got it. That's got to be taken care of because that system's efficient, but I can't imagine how much more efficient it's going to be now.
A great bit. It just makes sense. It's kind of like your lungs, you know, that outdoor coil, if it gets clogged or impacted, it can't breathe just like, you know, you wouldn't be able to if you had something over your mouth.
Right.
Or impeding your breath.
Exactly. So, yes, that is definitely what's going on. Somebody stirring up some eggs there or something? We're hearing something in the background there. Like you're tearing paper, or does it sound like a paper cutter, maybe? Is this a new game we're playing, Chris? I don't think there's any prizes. So, but, yeah, that was – I was shocked at the amount of debris that came off of that brand-new unit. And, of course, you know, like I said, we had they had cut travertine around there, and I noticed that the wind was blowing that way a few times, and I rinsed the unit off on the outside, but I didn't really pay much attention to the coils, and when I popped those covers off, I was shocked. So makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. So this, just think the pollens right now is probably sticking to it if your unit's running. Just like the car, right? It's on everything.
Yeah, it's very yellow here lately.
Yeah, it really is. So with that said, I think that folks, that if they haven't had their air conditioning system on, if you're getting ready to turn it on, you probably want to start scheduling and getting that done, getting on the list and get that taken care of. Because it's not just the inside. I know, Scott, you talk an awful lot about the newer refrigerants run at a much higher pressure.
Yeah, internal operating pressure. It's
right.
you know, almost double what the old refrigerant was.
So that really,
which means, huh?
So that really is important to get rid of the heat as much as you can out on that outside unit.
Well, and it, you know, just anything that would restrict airflow would cause those pressures to go even higher.
Right.
I hate to say it. It used to be with the old R22 that, you know, you could almost ignore the equipment a little bit and it would still work. It would still function. But with the new refrigerant, if you ignore it, you're not going to like the cost to repair it.
Oh, yeah. I can't even imagine.
It's just so fine-tuned because the government just keeps increasing the efficiency standards. And that's going to happen again before too long.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's about, as a whole, I guess, saving energy when you can. When I saw what my system is doing for our house and the comfort that we have, and then just the difference in the power bill, the electricity bill, it's pretty amazing. I was made a believer out of me, I can tell you that. But anyway, we're going to talk more about that in 704-570-1110. We'll talk about any home improvement that you have on your mind. But if you have anything on air conditioning, even heating, we'll be glad to take that. We'll be back in a few minutes with more home improvement with John and Dave. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
And I am Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating and Cooling.
Hey, I forgot to mention John's off this week. I think he's just traveling back home from the coast. So was it going to be the best thing for him to do is try to call in from the car? So we're just filling in for him. And he said to tell you fellas hello. And he knew you'd do a good job like you always do. So, guys, tell me what Scott, you had mentioned some changes possibly coming. Do you guys know what those are yet with HVAC? Zeke, do you know what that is?
No, not definitely.
It's just another efficiency increase.
So it'd be like the SEER rating.
It's a percentage this time. It's going to be different, but it's just the like a year and a half ago they did away with split pole capacitor blower motors. So all of the motors and furnaces now are X13 or pre-programmed variable speed at a minimum, and it just takes choices away from the end user. So, you know, if you need to buy a furnace, it's going to cost you more. You have less options.
Right. But I guess in the end, it really is better, isn't it?
Yeah, but what if you had rental properties that you had to take care of?
I guess.
You know, there's a lot of uses other than just in your home. It's across the board.
Right. Well, I mean, I guess it's where we're headed. You know, I remember not too long ago when they were phasing out incandescent bulbs, and they really never phased them out. They're still available. We were a little upset over it about the LEDs coming in because we knew they were going to be more expensive. But I think after you get the savings that you get from them, I guess the savings and not generating any heat are probably one and the same, but the not making the heat is really is pretty important for me as a contractor, because I see people are able to put light fixtures in places that they couldn't put them before, or you don't have to worry near as much about someone putting a more than a 60 watt bulb, you know, that will generate heat. And you know, hurt a light fixture, could actually burn up the wiring. Probably not so much now because they've increased the wire capacity and the heat load. But so I guess there's some advantages to it, and time will tell. I guess that's exactly what's going to happen. Hey, lines are open, 704-570-1110. Home improvement questions, anything you want to talk about? A little emphasis on the air conditioning. It is that time of year. Right,
but there we do have a new unit that's pretty interesting. We put our first one in this week. it's a modulating Linux unit that's much smaller than its predecessor, but it's more efficient. So it's replacing the two-stage 16 SEER with a modulating 18 SEER that has a rotary compressor.
Oh, wow.
And it's about 30% smaller than the unit that it replaced. So at least if you've got tight areas, because these units just keep getting bigger and bigger, if you've got a tight space, at least we can still, or we will be able to put in a really nice, high efficient unit that's extremely quiet.
Right.
Operating.
How about you, Zeke? Same thing?
Yeah, pretty much the same thing. I mean, as far as what people are purchasing, it's all over the board. It just depends on what their, individual needs are.
Right.
We see a lot more people paying more attention to the whole house filter and the, UV lights the cold plasma. They pay more attention to indoor air quality.
Right. Which that kind of makes sense. But I was kind of wondering about, if people were going for the higher SEER models now and upgrading their duct work or... So I guess that still matters. I just wondered if there would be a little uptick in that. Because as more people get it and more people talk about the savings in their utility bills, I got my utility bills this month and for March, my electricity bill for the house was $114. And we weren't running a lot of air conditioning, but we did have it on a few times. I think it was turned on, but it just wasn't running because the house is so insulated. That was a pretty amazing. And then the gas bill was like $50, and I think 25 of that's a meter charge. So not too bad at all for what we're heating and cooling, and we're comfortable.
Well, and they're bargain bills compared to what's coming in the next few months.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what I see a lot more of is people are more conscious of their indoor environment because they're spending more time at home.
Right.
So, like Zeke was saying, the indoor air quality products, and more than anything, the biggest demand right now is that people want their equipment serviced.
Right. Oh, yeah. You can't afford for it to be down. That makes total sense. I agree with the indoor air quality stuff, and we do have the nice filter at the furnace. We didn't go with anything else in the unit because I knew I could add it at a later time. But so far we haven't really had a need for it. So it's pretty dry. We're running a lot of, we run the unit a lot on dehumidify. Well, it's always in that mode. And it's pretty amazing that what that system can do. And it's running, it's comfortable, and I'm not having to go get a loan to pay the electric bill, which was part of the plan. As we age in place in this house, we don't want to have high utility bills if we can help it.
Well, there's a lot of frustrations in our industry right now for the biggest problem is shortages, supply chain shortages still being hampered by the coronavirus.
Right.
If you had an issue with your unit last year with the AC and you just said, which happens at the latter part of summer, you're like, just wait till next year.
Sure.
Go ahead and get it fixed now because there's some, unfortunately, there have been some serious delays in parts.
Yeah, because it's just a few parts can keep them from being able to get a unit completely assembled. And that's kind of what I understand is going on with appliances. The same thing.
Automotive.
Yeah, there's a few key chips or whatever for the boards that they can't get their hands on, and it's stopping the whole thing. So,
well, and inflation, the cost of steel has started to make a really steep climb in price, which there's price increases on the equipment.
Sure.
First of next month.
Right. And that's just one facet of it. So, I mean, we don't want to be the bearers of bad news, but yeah, if you're thinking about doing things, try to get it done and get it taken care of. I know we're going to be coming up on a break here in about a little under a minute, but John and I were discussing last week. I had a customer, and I want to kind of touch base with you guys on this too, with some advice that I gave to a woman who is on her own that was needing some windows, and everybody was trying to sell her windows, and I discovered there were some other things going on with her house, and including her HVAC units. And you know, what we discovered was she didn't really need windows. What she needed was insulation, and she was probably running some pretty inefficient equipment that was, I think she told me, 17 and 25 years old. So, and she was having trouble heating and cooling portions of the house. So we'll talk a little bit about that and kind of where windows rank and air conditioning and heating and where you get your biggest bang for your buck. So we'll plan to talk about that when we come back. In the meantime, we're going to take a break here. Give us a call, 704-570-1110. We'd love to hear from you. We're talking home improvement, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. I'm David Doval.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
All right, guys. Glad you're here today. We appreciate it. Lines are open, 704-570-1110. Any home improvement questions you got? But we would, I know the guys would like to hear from you if you've got any AC questions, or maybe you're planning on buying a new unit. Maybe you need a little direction. These guys are here to help, and they can certainly do that. That's for sure. We were talking a little bit before the break about what you guys hear when you're out and about with folks when they talk about windows and what percentage of savings that they can expect to get. The consulting job I went on, you know, they were telling her some ridiculous numbers that she could expect to save on her energy bills. And it's just, you know, I guess if you were missing windows, you could probably look to save that kind of money. But I don't think you will just replacing windows. It'd have to be in pretty bad shape. Has that been your experience?
Oh, yeah. They're some of the claims are pretty outrageous. But every house is different. But
oh, yeah, absolutely.
But an older house with, you know, wood windows and storm windows, if they're in good shape, it's going to be, in most cases, better than any replacement window.
Mm-hmm.
Because that air gap could be, you know, 3 inches on the storm window.
Exactly. And air is the best insulator, right?
It definitely is.
Yeah. So that was... That kind of was our conclusion after I listened to her and she told me, you know, what her situation was. You know, of course, it was a bonus room was a problem, and they're almost always a problem if they're over a garage, and if the house was built, you know, more than 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and even some of those have trouble just because they need really almost their own unit or their own thermostat. So we talked about zoning, and she had never heard of that. And so I told her to make sure that when she called her contractors to start pricing out to talk zoning, possibly just that bonus room off of the upstairs unit. And so I hope that helped her, and I hope it dispelled some of the issues that she was having about windows. I know zoning is a really great way to be able to heat or cool or take advantage of keeping another area separate, right? Without the cost of a whole new unit.
It just makes a ton of sense if you've got 1,800 square foot on your first floor, and you just want to cool your bedroom at night, it's a whole lot cheaper to break that area off and control it separately. And it makes a lot of sense. I mean, especially with maybe your kids are in college and that part of the house is empty and you're not using it anymore. But if your system is set up traditionally, well, you're still heating and cooling it.
Right. Yeah, and that was the other thing that we talked about, which is probably a question I would think that comes up with other folks that have two-story homes. If you have to replace both units, but you're maybe your budget's a little strapped and you can't afford to do them both at once. And the master bedroom happened to be on the bottom floor. So my suggestion to her was, I said, you know, price both units and so you at least know where you're at or where you stand. I said, but, you know, I would replace the downstairs unit because that's the one that was going to cause her the most havoc if it went out, because there's nobody upstairs. So do that one first. And I think that kind of made sense.
Yeah, and that's a question that comes up a lot is, you know, if you have two systems in your house, you know, how do you weave your way through the process of replacing the systems?
Mm-hmm.
And the simple rule is you buy the most efficient air conditioner you can afford for the upstairs and the most efficient furnace for the downstairs.
Right. Yeah. And that really does make sense. I just was kind of amazed at the whole scenario that was going on over there. And then I think the last thing that we talked about was insulation. And I know we talk about that a lot, is that you can spend all the money you want on a high efficiency system, but if you don't take care of the ductwork and if you don't have insulation, you're just letting it all go out the roof anyway. So
yeah.
Makes the most sense. I know, Zeke, we talked about that an awful lot in the past about the ductwork and how sometimes it's inefficient, just not only because of lack of insulation, but a lot of times how it's laid out. So that was, I think those with those things, I think we got her in pretty good shape, and she was going to make some decisions about getting some units. I'm hoping she gives you guys a call. We gave her some names, and hopefully she'll do that, and she'll get it taken care of, and she can stay in that home and be comfortable, because I think that was the biggest part is not being able to cool it. So being cool in the summer and being warm in the winter. And I just think that a higher efficiency unit probably would make all the difference in the world in that particular house. So, all right. Hey, we are just about 20 seconds from a break. Let's get the number out there, 704-570-1110. We're talking home improvement, a little emphasis on the heating and air conditioning, mostly air conditioning this time of year. Give us a call, and we'll be back with more home improvement with John and Dave after this. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
And I am Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
All right. Hey, glad you joined us. Give us a call, 704-570-1110. Talking home improvement, any air conditioning questions would be gladly accepted as well. We have these guys on once a month. It's the second Saturday, so it's always good to have this in our arsenal. There's lots of great things that we talk about with air conditioning and heating. And Zeke, before the break, we kind of talked about ductwork. Let's talk a little bit about ductwork and what needs to be done with it, especially in relation to if you're choosing a higher SEER system.
Well, you have to have the right duct system, airtight, the right size. You have a lot of it that, you know, is somewhat undersized return or even supply duct work. And if you don't have the right airflow, it just cuts down the efficiency of the unit. You can put a real high efficiency unit on, but if your ductwork's not adequate, you're not going to get the benefits out of it. So the right airflow with the right static pressure and sealed, so you don't have any air leaks. And air leaks can be both ways, air leaking out of the duct system into the unconditioned area, whether it's attic or crawl space, or air leaking into the duct system from that attic or crawl space. And now you're having to have conditioned that air more than what's in the house already, because you already dehumidified the house. So your air is not as humid as you take air from the crawl space. It's got more humidity in it, so then you got to take the humidity out of that air as well.
Right. So that kind of answers a question for some folks that maybe purchased high SEER, high efficiency units, but didn't do anything with their ductwork, and then they didn't realize a lot of savings or comfort, and then they you can attribute it almost back to the poor ductwork. I mean, unless you have really poor insulation, and we talked earlier about windows. You know, if most windows are what they are, and if you have blinds or curtains over them, I think you get about as much energy efficiency out of them as you're going to get. But that insulation in the attic and that ductwork is so important, or the ductwork in the crawl space just always made sense to me as well. What about design on ductwork? I know that plays a role, and people think, well, it's just a piping system. What does it matter? It's going to get there one way or the other.
Right. Well, you have to have the right size so you can have the right amount of airflow for the house or even the size of the room. You just don't go in and put one register in every room. If you've got a big master bedroom area, you might need two or three supplies in that area because of the area you're trying to condition.
Right.
Same thing with a great room or a living room or the kitchen. You know, that you have to have the right size for it. It's very, you know, critical. You also were going back as far as where you get your biggest bang for your money. And when you're looking at windows or insulation, in most cases, I've found that you can take, and if you don't have adequate insulation in the attic, you can add attic insulation, and it's a lot less expensive than redoing all the windows, but you lower the amount of cooling that you require quite a bit. So for less money, you can cut down on the utility bills by adding attic insulation.
Yeah, we John and I agree with that 110%, because I've seen it happen too many times with customers that were having problems with the lack of cooling or lack of heat, and you know, they spend $1,000, $1,500 on adding insulation to an attic and maybe a little air sealing if it's needed, and voila, you know, your utility bills, maybe they stay the same, but and maybe they drop, but the biggest thing is that they're comfortable, and I know, Scott, that's really huge in what you guys talk about is the comfort level needs to be there. If you're going to spend the money, be comfortable, right?
And there's always many ways of doing any project. We just try to look at it from the perspective of it's your home. Why shouldn't it be more comfortable? Where do you spend more time?
Especially these days, right?
Especially in these days.
Yeah. So,
You know, the zoning, the equipment, those are all great pieces of the pie. But if the ductwork is not designed properly and not set up with dampers so that you can control it, you know, air's lazy. It just goes in the path of least resistance. So you can have spots in your house that are too hot in the summer and, you know, too cold in the winter, and it's not a fault of the equipment. It could just be a poor duct design and it needs some attention. Those are easy fixes in most cases.
Right, right. And then I guess while we're on it, about the duct work, and I don't want to beat it to death, but it's the thing that gets glossed over the most because, one, it's out of sight, out of mind, you know, and people don't really think it costs them any money just sitting there, but it in reality, it really can. So when a system is if you have to redo it, the boots, which are the part that goes through the ceiling and the register goes over to, they come through the floor and you drop a register in them. Those all have to be sealed now by code. But if you're in an existing home and it's not new construction, that's a pretty tall order, is it not?
It can be.
Yeah, I bet.
And you have to figure, you know, if you take a glass of ice water and set it on the counter, well, what happens? Well, it starts sweating. Why does it sweat? Well, it's because it's cold and it's drawing the humidity and the air around it to that cold spot, and that's what's creating the condensation. Well, the boots are also the last place in the line before the air comes into the house. It's metal, so it's going to get cold. If it's not well insulated or sealed, you could get organic growth just because every house has humidity during the summertime.
Right.
Small issue, but not one that's addressed enough.
Sure. Well, I've seen it cause a lot of damage in houses, you know, and you have several rooms that the ceilings will be water stained and the vents are rusted. And you know, it just doesn't look very good. So, and you know, there's also that same thought that there's inefficiency there. So if that's happening, you know, that you've got heat, humidity and cold is all colliding right there and causing the condensation. So, but that always was a thought of mine, is the poor guy that's in the attic. It has to be the skinniest guy you have, that's in there laying back in there, because that's where the roof meets the walls. And, that's the tightest spot. There's not many tighter spots than that. And not to mention the nails that are sticking through the sheathing.
Yeah.
You always know, because the guys that have done it before, they can't shave their head because they got a bunch of scars. I have that head, trust me.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, it just comes down to a little bit of forethought. You know, if your house, when it's being built, or if it's in the process of being built, you know, walk through with a camera and film where everything is behind the walls.
Absolutely.
And, you know, don't be shy to focus on the way, the condition of the way the HVAC equipment and ductwork has been installed. And take a good look at it. It's not hard to find deficiencies or praise for good work, and to know where it is after the sheetrock goes up, because then it gets a little harder.
It does. And it's actually very helpful. In if you decide to change something or do a remodel, you know, 5, 10 years, 20 years down the road, those pictures are worth a lot. The last townhouse, or the townhouse that we just moved out of, last year, the previous owner had taken pictures during construction and sent them to me. And it was quite helpful, on many occasions for me to have all those pictures. I knew where everything was in the walls, and, helped me troubleshoot some ductwork problems we were having. We were losing a lot of heat and cooling. But, hey, this again, we're right up against a break. 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. We will do that right after we come back from these messages.
Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back. It's hour number two of the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I am Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
Hey, we've got some lines open, 704-570-1110. Let's just go right to the phones. We've got Greg and Linda holding right now. Let's get Greg in here. Hey, Greg, welcome to the program. How can we help?
Yeah, I got a house. I bought it new about 25 years ago. The insulation in the attic was blown in, and I need to get it replaced. It's, you know, we've had a couple episodes of squirrels through the years, and, you know, got rid of them. The insulation up there is really bad. Should I go ahead and redo blown-in insulation, or like get roll-in insulation?
Well,
go ahead, Scott. I was going to say, you just add more blown insulation on top of it.
Is that the best thing to do? Because I'm planning to live there like another 25 years.
Well, and I think we can say foam is probably a better way to go with an open cell foam, because you're going to get more energy efficiency out of there. You're going to get your attic back if you need more storage. They can vacuum that insulation out, but you do, Scotty will have to do something with his air conditioning, will he not?
More than likely. I mean, if you were to foam it, the hard part of that is taking out all of that blown insulation, but it sure would take a load off of the system. Is it a good size attic? Can you stand up in the attic?
Oh yeah. Yeah. But we don't use it for storage. It's just
right.
You can't now because what you put up there now would slowly decay in the hot temperatures in the summer. But if you spray foam the attic, it wouldn't get much above 80, 85 degrees up there. So it would become good storage for you.
Do they spray foam the ceiling side or the floor side?
The ceiling.
The roof side, yeah. Right.
Oh.
So they spray in between, and then and they seal off all of the ventilation, so you have no intake, you have no exhaust, so there's no moisture coming in, and there's no way for moisture to get out. So that's why you have to work in concert with your HVAC company to ensure that first of all the system sized right once you do that, because like Scott said, it takes a big load off of the house. But it's important to control moisture in that attic. You don't want moisture to build up, so you really have to make sure that everything is put together right. It's a whole system as it works, but I can tell you with my house and what we did, it's pretty amazing. The difference in comfort, the electricity bills are cheaper, the gas bills cheaper, and we wanted that because as we age in place, we want to have lower utility bills.
And that doesn't bother the roof at all. The roof doesn't get too hot or anything
It they say that it takes about 10% off of a roof. So, you know, if you have a 50-year roof, you're talking 5 years. 5 years early. And chances are it's probably due 5 years early anyway. So I don't know if you can I think it's worth it when you see the savings and the comfort level. It's a trade-off. I mean, ideally if you had a metal roof with the foam and in no insulation in the attic would be the ideal situation.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, I appreciate it, man. I'll definitely look in to find somebody that can do that for me.
Yeah. Hey, if you have, if you need some help with that, send us a note to our website, askjohnanddave.com, hit the questions button, and I can get you connected up with some folks that do those things.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Appreciate the call, Greg. Thank you. All right, Greg is gone. Let's get Linda in here. Linda, welcome to the program. How can we help?
Good morning. My windows are in good shape, but the window sills on the outside, I've noticed just the corners of a lot of them are starting to be soft and rot away.
Sure.
The house was built in 1990.
Okay.
I don't know what kind of person, do you just... redo that part of it, or who does that?
Well, a lot of times a painter can take care of it if the rot is not too deep. So you apply a product over the rot, on the rot, and what that does is it goes in and it will stabilize it and push the moisture out of the way, and it won't allow it to rot anymore. Then they can use a filler, usually it's like a Bondo or a fiberglass. And they put that on there and they sand it and shape it and make it look just like the window nosing and sill that's there now. And then it's primed and painted, and you never know it happens. If it's right. if it's beyond that, if it's rotten through and through, then the you'll need a carpenter or a handyman, and what they'll do is they'll cut that sill and that nosing completely out away from that window, and then go back with a PVC product, and you'll never have that problem again. If you send us, I don't know if you have any of those folks. If you don't, send us a note again to our website, AskJohnAndDave.com. Hit the questions button, and I can maybe get you connected up with some folks that do that.
Okay, yeah, painter that can do that. Do you know the name of that product that they used to?
Cedar Shield.
Oh, Cedar Shield. Oh, yeah. I love Cedar Shield. Yeah, that's a great product.
Yeah, if you have some, it wouldn't hurt at all if you put that in a spray bottle and went out there and started spraying that.
Okay.
And by the time you get around the house from spraying it, go around again maybe two or three times and really, really lay it in there. And it'll make a big difference when they get there. It'll make it much easier for them to make the repair.
Oh, good. I love that product. And I didn't even think about it for that application. So I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, that's when I first started using it. That's what I bought it for, was repairing rot in just that windows and windowsills. It works great.
Yeah, we bought it for the deck, and and it works really good. That's a super product. Okay, great.
Good. Thanks, Linda. We appreciate the call.
So much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Good luck. Okay, Linda's gone. Phil, we see you there. Hope you'll hold on. We're going to take a short break. We're going to get a few messages in here, and then we'll come back and answer Phil's question and many, many more right after this. And we're back. It's Home Depot's Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
And I am Seeker Costa with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
Hey, lines are open, 704-570-1110. Home improvement questions, AC questions, we'll take them all. We'd be glad to have them. And that's what Phil's done. Phil, welcome to the program. How can we help?
I'm in the process of replacing two HVA systems in my home, and they're match systems. And I'm wondering, what is the advantage, if any, of a thermostatic expansion valve over a fixed orifice?
Efficiency. If you think about it, so let's say you go out of town and you come home and it's, 90 degrees or 85 degrees in your house, and you don't have an expansion valve, you just have a fixed orifice, and you turn the AC to 75, it may not reach that temperature until, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning or later. Whereas if you have an expansion valve, it reads the temperature of the air coming into the system and opens that valve more to allow more refrigerant and to flood the coil and allows it to adjust and cool quicker. So it basically just gives you more flexibility and increases the efficiency of the AC unit.
Well, it sounds like it might be necessary then.
It's almost standard for us. Everything we install has an expansion valve. About the only place that you would get an orifice would be in a new construction home.
Oh, okay. Didn't realize that. Okay, well, I appreciate the information.
All right. You're very welcome.
Thanks, Phil. Appreciate you holding. All right. Phil is gone. Lines open, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. A good call with Greg kind of looking at the future and with insulation, especially when you choose foam. I think you have to do a group think on that. Do you not, Scott Z?
I was going to say, I don't see any negatives. It's a winner all the way around. I mean, the hard part is just getting the old insulation out. That can be more expensive than the spray foam.
Yeah, my understanding is that some companies will vacuum it out. I guess they can reverse their trucks, but they don't like doing it because if they pick up some debris, it could be a problem for the equipment. Then I guess you have to take it somewhere. I don't know what you do with it once you get it out of there. But yeah, it's a job. It would be a job to get it all, especially if you had to do it manually.
But we moved into our house in June, and I'm working on spray foam in our attic right now.
Are you? What do you, are you? Are you? Were you? Were you? Did you have blown in insulation? that you're replacing?
Yeah, it's blown, and it's but the attic is so large. It's a walk-in attic, so there's a ton of storage. So I'll get more use out of it after I foam it.
Right.
And it just makes sense.
Yeah.
And luckily the AC unit, both of them are modulating, so I won't have to worry about resizing the AC equipment.
Right. Yeah, and that makes a big difference because that's definitely a thought. That was the conversation that I had with the woman about windows, and we ended up on AC new units and insulation. And I told her that since she was going to do both, that she should probably make her decision about the insulation before she made her decisions about the AC units, just simply because it could make a difference in what she purchases, right?
It definitely could. So, and that's why we do load calculations.
Right. And that's what we talked about. And I told her that was the responsibility of the HVAC company, and that they would do that, and she would be insured that the system would work, you know, properly, or would cool it and get rid of the humidity too, which is really the bottom line, is what we're after. Hey, let's get Mike in here. Hey, Mike, welcome to the program. How can we help? Hey, Mike.
Good morning.
Morning. Hey, can you turn your radio down for us?
Sure.
Thanks.
The question I have has to do with contemplating having to replace a heat pump. And is there an optimum in your calculation as it relates to higher SEER, which is more expensive, as I understand? So is there an optimum as to whether you have higher SEER with a higher front-end cost or lower SEER with less cost? Have there been any studies that reflect that? Do you understand my question?
Are you trying to say what are the real advantages of buying a more efficient
system? Essentially, that's what I'm asking. We have a place at the beach that has a heat pump, and it's old, and I know I'm going to have to replace it fairly soon.
How often is the property utilized? Are you there with regularity?
Off and on, yeah.
Because you will get better dehumidification and lower operating cost with a higher SEER unit. And if in today's world, thank goodness we could put in a thermostat that you control from your phone or your computer to make it easy. If you have someone going down, you could adjust the temperatures before they get there, so it's nice and comfortable. And then,
well, I was thinking about the front end cost.
No, I understand, but you have to think about the way the market is set up. There's the baseline for the equipment is traditionally what you would get if you bought a new construction home.
Mm-hmm. And that would be what?
14 SEER.
Okay.
Most of that equipment is made in other countries to save costs, because that's what the builder wants, is low cost. And in a lot of cases, it's one of those scenarios where you get exactly what you pay for. So if your expectations are low, that's a good way to go. But there is a really sweet spot in the middle where you can take a 16 or 17, 18 SEER unit and put it with a better air handler and get all the features and benefits of the really high-end, high-efficiency equipment without breaking the bank.
Hmm. Okay. That's a thought. Yeah. I think I understand that. Okay. Yeah. Well, thanks very much.
Mike. Yeah. Mike, the other thing is, you said it's at the beach. Is it, how close is it to the ocean? Or, do you have some problems with the salt air? Because the units are going to last as long on the coast as they will here. So while the average, unit would last anywhere from 10 to 15 years here, we see it down on the coast more like 7 to 10 years, and you end up having to replace the unit. So that's the, you do have a payback on a yearly basis. You can do a calculation and see how much it's going to save you per year and see the price difference between a 14 and a 16. But then you got to, you know, how long is it going to last? Is it going to save you that, let's say, $200 a year for 10 years or $200 a year for 15 years? And that's the calculations you probably need to look at.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Sure.
Hope that helps, Mike.
Well, I guess the other thing is almost all of the manufacturers are now going to all aluminum coils on the outdoor unit as well.
Right.
Which could help him with life expectancy.
Sure, sure. And don't they have, well, I know we're getting ready to come up on a break here, but they have some coating processes that they use along the coast too, from my understanding. And it's usually reserved for the big units on big roofs, big buildings, but I think you can do small units as well. So.
Yeah, you can. And but the thing is, you know, the even though the coils maybe not get as affected with the aluminum coil, you see that a lot of them is the cabinets themselves, the sheet metal.
Sure, just falls apart.
Once you get a little scratch on it, it just takes off, and then you end up, you know.
That's it.
The cabinet itself was, you know, falls apart.
Sure. All right. Well, listen, hey, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more home improvement right after this. Welcome back. It's the Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
And I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
Lines open, 704-570-1110. Any home improvement questions, we'd love to hear from you. If you have any AC questions, that is a win-win. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Hey, I got to say this real quick for my my grandkids are visiting, and they wanted me to say their names on the radio. So Maddox, Ellie, and Ellie, Pop loves you. There you go.
Hey, well, I wanted to say that I'm sure you heard about the shooting in Rock Hill the other day.
Yes. Yes. Awful.
One of our brethren, Joel and Stephen Long, that own Gastonia Sheet Metal, suffered the nightmare of every business owner. Just wanted to say we're praying for their guy that is still with us, and that hope that his life can get back to normal.
Sure, yeah, and the little babies that were left behind, but their dad was gunned down, and what a tough thing. So hopefully we'll hear more about that, and they'll get them. I'm sure there'll be some programs that are going to get fired up, and we can. I'll pitch in and help out, and we'll never their life will never be the same, but at least we can maybe make it a little better. But okay, we appreciate you talking about that. Let's talk to Tyler. Hey, Tyler, welcome to the program. How can we help?
Morning, gentlemen. Thank you for your time and your program. Quick question. You guys were talking about those auxiliary HVAC systems. Maybe that's not the right term. Wife and I looking to build a house. It's about 2,900 square feet, 18 on the bottom, 1,000 on the top, and there's a room over what will be a three-car garage. It's 270, about 300 square feet, and I know those could be an issue. What's your thoughts on those little small, I mean, the ones I've seen the most are made by Mitsubishi. They look like I don't know, it's just a little small air conditioner just to have a separate unit for that room, instead of even maybe trying to zone it off, just because of its size.
So three car garage and you're going to finish all the space above it?
Correct.
We use a lot of mini splits, but we use them more for, you know, sunrooms. If you want to temper the garage for your dog or an addition, but if you're building the house and everything is accessible, it would do you a lot of long-term good to zone that space and maybe look at spray foaming if you're going to go down that route, the floor and the partition walls and the ceiling in that bonus room, because that's the hardest room to heat and cool in the whole house.
Correct.
And while you're at it, just zone the whole house. You could do 4, 6, 8 zones, you know, what the...
Yeah,
with the right equipment, it's a win-win.
I agree. And you really should, Tyler, since you're building this house and it sounds like you guys are going to be there a while, I would definitely look into the foam and figure out how to get it in the budget. It's a little bit more. It's not as big of a deal on a new house, I don't think, as it is on an existing home. So I would talk with the folks that spray open cell foam and get that done. I mean, your air conditioning guy needs to know that in advance as well.
Okay. So definitely a zone system as opposed to a mini split.
That would be the way to go.
Okay. I got you. All righty. Well, listen, I appreciate it, fellas.
You're welcome. You're very welcome, man. Good luck with your house. Let us know how it comes out, man.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right, bud. All right, lines open, 704-570-1110. We're taking home improvement questions. We'd love to hear from you. So, Scott, yeah, so you're working on your attic and going to foam and maybe get rid of some blown-in insulation. Have you figured out what you're doing with that yet, or are you guys going to leave it, or are you going to take it out?
No, I mean, I've got to take it out to make the foam fully effective.
Right.
No, I've just gotten one quote. I've talked to, I'm waiting for the guy that I refer customers to come and look and give me his opinions. But I've had it in two other houses, and I'll tell you, it's some of the best money I've ever spent.
I agree. I was it was a tough decision. Well, it wasn't tough, but we went back and forth because there was some things we thought we might need to give up. We didn't, and we did that, and I think we got it all. This is really, we were greedy, and we got that. We saved money. We have comfort. We have it all going on, and we are glad that we went that route. Certainly worth every penny that we spent. And like I said, it really wasn't that much more. I think it was $3,000 more than the original insulation bid. So they subtracted the insulation that would have gone in the attic and an extra $3,000. We foamed it. Made a big difference. Big difference.
Definitely a lot cheaper during the construction.
Yes, absolutely. And I think you really probably get a better job just because I think it's so tough to get in there and spray and do the things that you need to do in an existing home. So those guys were able to shoot some of it from the bottom where they couldn't reach. So they reached up through the floor joist or the ceiling joist and were able to spray down close to the soffit. We have a steep roof, so it was a little bit easier for a lot of the places for them to get in. But nonetheless, we're glad we did it. We think it was a good move, and we would suggest that if you have that opportunity, you should do it as well. You will save money. And
hey, have you gotten to the point now where you can open your French doors on the back of the house?
We do open them some. Right now we're not because of the pollen. But yeah, we're the patio's finished, and we are we just have a few loose ends to tie up outside, and then that's going to be all done, and I'm looking forward to being finished, let me tell you.
I am tired,
that's for sure. Then I can get back out and work on other people's houses. That's what we want. Okay, hey, we got to take a break. We snuck past this a little bit, so let's do that, and then we'll come back for our final segment on the Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. It's the final segment of the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doble.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
All right. Glad you guys joined us. Give us a call, 704-570-1110. I've got some lines ringing now, so we'll get those dialed up, and we'll go into that. So we kind of got into the insulation along with the HVAC today, but I think in conclusion with that, guys, we're saying, you both have said it in different ways, but that's probably the biggest bang for your buck right there is if you're going to upgrade your HVAC system and the insulation's old, it's been there for a while, probably time to add some insulation. And I think the codes have changed anyway. Didn't it go to R38 in this area?
It did.
So that's a whole different monster. And that's another reason that I like the foam too, Scott, is that you don't need as much room to put that foam in as you do that R38. So you have to have some other considerations during construction.
Well, and you know, the one thing I really like about it is if you put your belongings in the space after it's foamed, there's no outdoor air coming in through soffits or gables or ridges, which means there's no dust.
Right. Yeah, so you get eliminate the dust, the nastiness of everything being covered. Also, you said it earlier, the heat, man, it just destroys everything you put up in a regular attic. So, well worth it if you're storing or if that's what you use. We use ours for that, and it's great. Hey, let's get Chris in there. He wants to talk about some foam as well. Hey, Chris, welcome to the program. How can we help?
Morning, gang. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
So the house is older. 1959, but and it's not a walk-in attic, but it's a long ranch house. It's a lot
right.
of space up there, and it was blown in, and I've been up there for some different reasons, and it's dusty, and I think some of it's broken down over time. But also wanted your opinion on doing the process in there, but there's also two large gable vents.
Mm-hmm.
That's what have to be sealed off.
Yeah, they cover them up. A couple of ways to do it is one, they can just be covered and they can foam over. It's just you need to make sure that they're in really good shape or that they're of some material that won't decay before you would cover them up. And the other option would be to take them completely out and fill it in.
Mm-hmm.
And then people say, well, what if I have a brick house and I have brick gables except for those vents? Well, you can put a siding accent. In that corner or in those triangles or squares, rectangles, and it looks pretty good. You know, it's just becomes kind of a feature on the house.
Well, my gables are it's a brick house, but those areas are wood.
Siding. So that makes it much easier to go in and fill that in with siding.
But what about, Dave, what about the fact that the last time I had a roof put on, they cut the ridge vent in. Are they going to have to just reseal that back up?
Yeah, they'll close that off. And it's best if I think it's probably best to have the ridge vent pulled off and have them install a cap over top and fill that in. But I'm assuming that it probably could be left. I just would worry that if the foam migrates up into that vent, it might make that vent really hard to pull off later because it becomes one with the foam that's inside because it does grow and expand.
Okay. And what about the fact if you need a new roof, when they tear the old one off, it's going to pull the nails out and then they got to re-nail it. Does that affect
no.
the foam?
No. It's open cell foam anyway. The only time that you would have a problem, and this is advice that we've given many times, if you're going to have your attic, if you're going to have the roof deck foamed on the bottom side, you should make sure that your roof is in good shape and also that you have no rotten plywood because that's definitely going to affect it. And that's a tougher repair. Well, it's not a tougher repair. It's just a more expensive repair because they have to come out, set up to spray if it's one sheet or half a sheet of plywood or whatever. You know, it'll add to the cost of it. So
you mean like for future repairs?
Yeah. So make sure. Yeah.
The spot there with the
sure. Make sure that everything's in good order before you have that foamed.
Like leaks around flashing and fireplace.
Exactly.
And all that.
Exactly. We use the sealed flashings around our pipes, so they'll never have to be replaced. That neoprene.
Yeah.
Seal is underneath a plastic piece that will never see the light of day until that roof is replaced.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I'll keep listening. Thank you.
All right, Chris. We appreciate it.
Bye.
Yeah, that was our thing, Scott. And I don't know what you have on your roof, if you have those the roof boots, but I didn't want to take any chance of having any leakage. So we only have four penetrations in our roof, and that's it. And it's four vents for the plumbing, and that's all we have. And we use those they're called perma vents. And they slide over top of the pipe, and then it has an insert that goes inside it, and there's no way water will ever get in them. If water ever gets through them, we got bigger problems than that. So.
So you went sidewall with all your venting?
I did. I wanted less penetrations in the roof were better for me. And I had those options. So even the fireplace, the gas logs. We vented out the sidewall. They really wanted to go through the roof, but I just didn't want it through the roof. Not with that open cell foam. You can do it, but I figure why take the risk? You know, if you
did you do remote bath fans?
No, my fans go out the soffits, so that they're not in the way. There's nothing in the way. Of course, we don't have soffit vents, so that air can't draw back in.
No, I meant, did you do remote fans just for sound and being able to do multiple intakes?
Well,
I used
the Panasonic fans, exhaust bathroom fans. Is that what you're saying?
Is it ceiling mounted or is the motor up in the attic?
No, they're ceiling mounted, but you can't hear them. They're very quiet. I bought them from the rep from Panasonic. They were left over. I found them on Facebook Marketplace before I started building the house, and it was they were $300 fans. I got them for $25 a piece, I think.
There you go.
I know. I made some deals like that before we built the house. I kept bringing stuff home, and Gina was looking at me like, "What are you doing? We don't have room for this." Yeah, we do. So, yeah, that was all of that was kind of thought out, and that was my plan anyway. Was to vent through the soffits, and they make some really nice soffit vents that blend in with your colors that you don't even see them up there once they're done. And if you cut them properly and install them properly, you can keep the wasp out of them, because that's kind of a big deal. Gina's she doesn't like the wasp. She don't like them buzzing around.
It's good to have a chance to practice what you preach.
It is. It is. I really, I did, man. We did a lot of things that I've done for my customers for years. I was able to do it on our house, and you know, we get to live it firsthand. So when I give advice to people, I feel a lot more confident about what I tell them after living it. Because you hear all the savings from different people for this or that or the convenience of things, but when you do it and you invest in it, man, it's worth it, because then you can really talk about it and have all the confidence in the world, and really, really do appreciate that part of it. Man, you guys, this is it's come up on us quick, but we have about a minute left, so I think what we're gonna do is just say thank you, and as always, we really do appreciate you guys. Coming in on the second Saturday of each month, and you offer lots of advice to people, and I'll brag on you a little bit. You guys even help people all over the country that don't know where to turn, because there's so many people that listen to our podcast, and you guys are always gracious about that, and we sure appreciate it.
It's our pleasure.
Yes, and we do appreciate you guys both. John will be back next week, and of course I will too, God willing, and we hope that you enjoyed the show, and also we would like to say that we believe that the most important kind of home improvement is the one that makes your home a happier place to live. We hope you'll work on that this week, and we will be back next week right here on WBT, and it's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show.